Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about cleaning. Is Ayin here for Pesach, going away for Pesach? What's the general away?
My family's not.
Zalmi, where else would you go? So we'll try to explain the difference between the two, a little bit of the guidelines for both, but really what we have to understand is, like, what is going on over here that everyone is so traumatized from Pesach cleaning that, are we too late? Like, we should have given this share like Hanukkah time, I'm saying,
Pretty much.
So what's the pshat, and is there a way to get away with doing, what is the ikra halacha, what's chumrah, what's just not necessarily needed, and what's the ikra halacha? So the truth is like this. So obviously we start from the beginning. On Pesach there's two isurim. There's an isur of achilas chametz, and there's an isur to own chametz, bayira bayimatze. The Gemara says in the first Mishnah of Pesachim, it is a chiyuv bedikas chametz. You have to check for chametz, you have to check in the churin, it's docking, you have to check in the cracks and everything. You have to check for chametz. Why is it you have to check for chametz? L'chayra, the Gemara asks a question. L'chayra, why do you have to check for chametz? Anyway, midi'araisa, you're going to do bittel chametz. You're going to do bittel. You're going to annul the chametz. You're going to say it has no value. So, Ibazoi, why do you have to check for chametz altogether? Why don't you just do enough? Why isn't bittel enough?
You have to be proactive.
What?
You have to be proactive and get rid of it.
Okay, but I did bittel.
Selling yourself is not
selling. Bittel, I'm saying it's all worthless.
You're talking about regarding the fine cracks and the little, like.
I'm saying the chavas bedika, which you need a candle to get into whatever. So, why? First, let's just figure out, what are we checking for? What are you looking for?
You're not looking in small cracks.
Okay, the Gemara said, Bechur is
looking for whole. Items of chametz that are usable.
Okay. So, Relax. The Gemara says that you need a candle to check in the churin is docking.
Right.
Okay, so obviously you have to check places that are hiding a little bit. So let's figure out step by step. What is the chayvas bedika? So Rashi says in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim, Boitkin, Zakt Rashi, Shalayavar Allah, Babayra, Bayimatse. Rashi's concern is that you own the chametz. Tosfos says, what's the big deal about owning chametz? You'll do the bittel. You're not going to own the chametz anyway. What do we care about owning chametz? Zakt Tosfos, no, the ikar is because you may shama yavala achle. You may come to eat the chametz. So if you just did bittel, you don't own it, but you may come to eat the chametz. So says Tosfos, well, a lot of things you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat chaylev, you're not allowed to eat chazer, you're not allowed to eat a lot of things. You don't find that there's a din. Go check for basa b'chalav. Why all of a sudden here we have mukhid to check? Because here you're used to it the whole year. You have it in your house the whole year. And the mela, if you don't check for it, you may end up coming to eat it just out of habit, and therefore you have to get rid of it from your house. You cannot have it in your house, which is, by the way, why? Even if you sell the chametz, you still have to get it out of your house. That's why, if you listen to what the Rav says, when you go to the Rav to sell your chametz, or to make him a shliach to sell your chametz, the Rav says, you make me a shliach? Are you making me a shliach to sell your chametz and rent the places that the chametz is found? And the pshat is that what we do is we rent to the goy the areas that are designated to keep the chametz, because you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. You're not allowed to own the chametz, but you're also not allowed to keep chametz in your house. Because Shami Yavala Achloi. So Mamela, you have to keep it that it's not in your home. So the kids, so this is the Machalik Rashi Toysis. What is the Chavis Bedika in the first place? Is the Chavis Bedika in order Shami Yavala Achloi, or is the Chavis Bedika up by Yerel Vayimatze like Rashi? So let's assume for a minute that the Ikar Chavis Bedika is that you shouldn't end up coming to eat it. So the Gemara asks this question, and Davav in Pesachim. The Gemara asks a question like this. Amar Rav HaBoydik. Okay, so now the question becomes, so what are you checking for? In other words, what size pieces? What do you want to make sure that there's not there? So the first is there a din that you have to check for mamish crumbs? Is there a din that you have to check bedikas chametz for pirurin?
It depends on the
for crumbs.
There's a chance that they might mix with your regular.
Okay, maybe. Maybe that's what it's tolerant. So
there's no chance that they'll ever mix with the food.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. So let's see. So the Gemara says that pirurin are batli me'eleim, pirurin are bottle. But, so there's two reasons to assume that pirurin is bottle. Number one is that there's no bayiro, bayumatze, and pirurin because they're bottle. And number two is, what about, so alts rashi, you have crumbs on the floor, they're bottle. So there's no chashah bayiro, bayumatze, that the bittle won't work on that. It's bottle by itself, even if you weren't a bottle and it's useless. So according to Rashi, crumbs, there's no reason to check for crumbs. You don't have to clean for crumbs, you don't have to check for crumbs. According to Tosfos, so also, are you going to eat the crumbs off the floor? Pash does not. You're not going to eat the crumbs off the floor. Memela, both according to Rashi and according to Tosfos, there would be no halacha, but you have to check for tiny little crumbs. Okay, so now the question is, how come your mother made you sit there in the cabinets with a toothpick, you know, and going up and down in the crevices of the drawers to make sure that there's no, I don't know what, there's no something in there that like, well, what's the deal with this whole toothpick thing, right, or whatever? What are we looking for? There's a story with Brisker Rav. That Biskarov was at some point, he took a very, very long time on his B'dikas Chametz, obviously. And when he had a Bachrim, when he was older, so there was Bachrim that came to his house to help him with the B'dikah. So right after the Rav made the Bracha, so one of the Bachrim jumped onto the floor with the candle and started looking in between the cracks of the tiles. What are you looking for over there? You're going to think you're going to find a cookie, gluska yafidartin, like you're going to find a cookie down there? What are you looking for? So that means that for little tiny crumbs that are on the floor, there's no din bedika, because sai, you're not going to come to eat it, and sai, you're not going to, it's bottle, so what's the big deal? So what are we looking for? So what we have to look for is it dafka kazayas? So that's a big shiloh. Because l'chayra, according to Rashi, there could be vayiro and less than a kazayis, at least chatzis shir. And according to Tosfos, it's edible if it's less than a shir. So l'chayra, this is what you're saying, is that the ikar halacha would seem to be that bedika is for pieces of chametz, not dafka kazayis, but pieces of chametz that are edible. They have somewhat of a chashivus, and they're edible. So if that piece of chametz is somewhat edible, and if you would pick it up, technically, you could technically eat it. So memela there, it's not bottle by itself, so you have Rashi, and maybe you go come to eat it, so you have Tosfos. And that's really the bottom line of what you're checking for. Okay? Now, what would that mean? According to that, really a typical room, let's say a bedroom of a kid, a child's bedroom. So, how do you check, how do you clean that room for chametz? So theoretically, you sweep the floor, okay? And then, maybe you want to check that, you know, the kid is keeping a stash that he, you know, his stash that he got from Mishloach Manos, you know, and, you know, his candy, his chocolate bars that had, you know, the wafer ones, the ones that are chametz. So his real chametz sticker candy, and, or he was by a kiddush, and there was this cookie that he couldn't, you know, resist, but he already had 13 at the kiddush, so... You know, the last one, he decided to take home. So what you're looking for is cookies. You're looking for real pieces of chametz that the kid has in his room. So you open the drawer, you look for a piece of chametz, you look for a cookie, and you close the drawer. That's it. You don't have to sit there spraying it and cleaning it and scrubbing it and all this type of stuff. And you just look for, so the whole cleaning the room could take a few minutes, because you take a dresser, you look in this, you open the drawer, you see if there's an edible piece of chametz, like a pretzel or something like that, and that's it. You don't have to really scrub and clean or whatever, and that's really what you're looking for.
You're looking in places that you would think that there may be chametz would be left?
Yeah, or especially in that type of room. So it's just basically sweeping the floor and just making sure that there's no edible pieces of chametz, like a real cookie or pretzel or something like real there. Okay?
In a kid's room, that could be anywhere.
I mean, anywhere, but anywhere is not that big in our houses. Like, well, what's the, what
yeah,
is there already?
Saying,
there's like, a little bit of whatever,
you know. I don't know where a 5-year-old is going to shoot that cookie that he got from a kid. It could be in a very unlikely
right. Now,
place.
Now, so according to this, really, there's no pshat in checking for crumbs. There's no pshat in checking for crumbs. So my problem was always that l'chaira, I have a few rayas, not like that. There seems to be rayas that there is a din to check for crumbs. Because, first of all, the Vilna Goyin said that he checked his svarim. He checked his svarim, and the svarim that he did not check, he didn't use on Pesach. And, right? So l'chaira, what's in the side of Sefer? There's no Reisman's Ruggeloch sitting there inside your Sefer, right? So what's in your Sefer? L'chaira, what's in your Sefer is crumbs. So what's the Vilna Goyin checking for crumbs? I thought we were learning. No one didn't to check for crumbs.
That's
right.
Open the
so there's that's the Maaser Rav, and the Chai Adam, the Rama, says that you have to check pockets. So also, what are you checking pockets? Now there you could say Taka pockets you could check for real
pockets.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Pockets
you could have Mechor, pockets is not shver, because pockets are Taka checking for real chametz. Remember in the old days when they had the pants that the style was the cuffs?
Yeah.
Remember those?
Food
right. 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 So the stuff so I one time was what? What?
It comes back.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So. I remember one time I was by in Israel. So I asked Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. I asked him if you have to check those cuffs for chametz. She started laughing at me, making fun of me, and he's like, he called over his wife. This bacha wants to know if you have to check your cuffs for chametz. So what are you checking for? What are you checking? I know. Yeah, so later I realized he's the wrong person. But anyway, what he was saying was, so he said, there's nothing in there. There's nothing edible in there. I said, yeah, but it says you have to check your pockets. He said, pockets could be edible food. Over there, there's just crumbs, and any crumb that got in there is already mius, is already dirty and disgusting. Middle, there's no chash you're going to go when you're hungry and go open up your cuff for, you know, is that Nogea? Yeah. And Memela over there, you don't have to check Bechalal. So he was going with that idea, and this Mefurish also in the Tshuva from Igros Moshe, in Arachayim Chelak Aleph Simon Kamf Memhei. I'll read you his lashon. He says, Uvedover Hapirurin, when you want to come check for crumbs, Abipsachim Davav, Lechashiv, Yiv Ein Tzarech Bittel. It's not important, it's bottled by itself. And the halacha is, it's only for a gluska, for a cookie. Okay, that's what you have to check for. But otherwise, it's bottle. Now, Zami, this is why I don't give this shit to ladies. They don't believe me. I say this stuff. They're like, you know, they're just it's not no game. They don't. You know, so I may as well say it to you, and maybe you could convince the ladies. But I say it. They just think I'm.
I think you have a better chance of
losing. But this is l'chaira the ikalah. So now. It comes out that if you're talking about a regular, you know, a room in a house, the ikar bedika is for a gluska yafa, it's not for pirurin bechlal. The shaila is, what you keep on saying is there any place that there is takachshash of pirurin? Like we're saying from the Vilna Goyin, the Sfarim, and other things like that. And then the pshat is like what you're saying. This whole idea we've been talking now is what you may deliberately come to eating something. So on that, we're only concerned that you'll deliberately come to eat a pretzel, a cookie, a Cheerio side, like something which is a significant piece of chametz, which is has a chashibas to it, and a person would theoretically pick it up off the floor and eat it. Okay? Or from the drawer or the pocket or whatever. But There are areas that we may be concerned that small pieces of chametz that are even crumbs can fall into your food, not deliberately. And memela, in those areas, taka, there's a concern even for the crumbs. So, let's take for example, Let's take, for example, the Sfarim of the Gra. It's meduyik in the Lashon of the Gra. He says like this. Ubedikas chametz bechurin of his dock and vavu bishabata bayoim tzarch lived at glory now feel bechol teva feel up his svarim shemishtam shem bohem meshas suda. That means what he's saying is if you have a sefer and you bring it and you learn from your chumash shmois at the suda because you want to say over a nice met. Now what's going to happen? There's kubi crumbs from the challah when you learn the parshas boy. And now at your Pesach table, you have crumbs in the sefer and that could fall into your food. So that's what he's talking about. So he's not saying stamazaya safer that you're learning at your desk. What's the chashash? The crumbs you don't care about, and you're not eating from there. So Mamela, if you have a minig, I know a lot of people have this minig. We have this. We have this hanhaga that on Pesach we don't bring any svarim to the table, to the dining room table where we eat. Pesach you have to learn on a shtender or learn by a separate table, and like that you don't have to check the svarim for chametz because. Wherever you're eating on Pesach, you don't have any of the svarim. So even if there is crumbs or something in a sefer, you're never eating in the area that you're having the svarim. Okay, there is Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky sold all of his svarim on Pesach. He didn't use. He had a separate shas for Pesach, and he did not use any of his yearly svarim on Pesach. But that was Reb Chaim, and he had a reason for that based on the Chazanish or whatever. But as this, that's not what necessarily what the Gra is saying. Okay, so based on that idea, so anywhere where there's a chashash that you may come to eat, there you have to be worried about the crumbs. But anywhere where there's no chashash, you're going to eat. The whole point is that you may deliberately come to eat something. So like a bedroom, a playroom, or something like that. So you just look for big pieces of chametz, and that's all. So what do you do in the kitchen area? So let's say you have a cabinet where you're putting your food. So there, you have to be worried about the corners. Because it could be crumbs that build up in the corners of these cabinets. And you're going to go put your food or your plates or whatever there. And that could get in. So it's very simple. You could try to get in there with whatever, some sort of toothpick method. But what you could do is you could either cover it with paper, which is anyway mashma in the Shulchan Aruch, that any surface that's used during the year, it seems like from the Shulchan Aruch, I have a deek in the Shulchan Aruch, it's mashma, that there's a minig that you're supposed to cover any area that you use for food on Pesach, that you use for food during the year, should be covered. Stam.
Make a separation.
Yeah, it should be covered. So if you cover it,
using whole pieces of chametz on a constant basis.
Right.
And your dining room table.
Right.
So if you're saying that playroom where you're not really using
whole exactly.
chametz, maybe crumbs.
You don't have to worry about that. And you're not eating there on Pesach either. In your cabinet, so there, let's say even the cabinet you put your silverware, or for sure the cabinet, the pantry is where you put the food. So there, you have to worry about the crumbs. So there's three ways to do it. Either you take care of the crumbs, but that's a lot of work. Or you could spray the corners with like a bleach type of spray. And once you do that, it kills it. Or you put paper, which anyway, I think you're mechuyev to, you put paper on there. So you put some sort of, you cover. And once you cover it, so the corners are covered, so then that's also good.
Just to clarify, in a playroom, where you're not having large pieces of chametz, are you saying that you don't even have to clean?
You don't have to clean. There's no din.
There's always been food to the playroom.
No, I know, but what are you worried about? But I'm saying, you don't have to scrub every piece of Lego.
There's a chashash with large pieces.
There are clubs, a place that people actually eat, just like a couch. Pieces. Like in a den, or whatever. People sit down and eat on the couch. You have to open up the couch and take it apart.
The couch is going to get the couch.
I mean, so I'm saying, if you have
the couch, you're not bringing to the table.
No. But the problem with the couch is like this. No, the problem with the couch is because the problem with the couch is that you do because the couch, lemaisa, you sit there, you put your hands all over the place. You're eating an apple. Right on Pesach, but you do put your hand, you put your hands in between the cushions and stuff, and you eat an apple. If it's not clean, it could be that unless you say I'm going to be on the couch, I'm not going to eat it. Well,
on
Pesach, if you don't eat on the couch on Pesach, it could be that what? Yeah, I have some silver foil, I have some extra.
That's great.
But
that's
going
to be the next meme.
Right. But anywhere where there's a concern of crumbs that will come into your food, that's where you have to be more concerned. So let's say bags. let's say purses or bags. So again, like something you're going to take a backpack. What?
Bags are the same thing as pockets.
Bags are the same thing as pockets that you have big pieces. But bags that you use for food, let's say you have a bag that you're going to take on a Chol Moed trip or something, and you can put food in there, so that taka is a much bigger concern. Because there could be crumbs even in the corner of the bags or in the sewing or whatever. So there you have to taka be a little bit more careful with those types of things. So you put all your bags, your food in a plastic bag and you're just bringing your, you know, whatever, so that's fine. But if you're going to use bags that you use during the year to hold food on Pesach, that taka is a little bit more of a concern. You know, I think if you so stuff like that. But basically, you're right. A regular, typical way to clean a regular bag would just be open it and see if there's a cookie in there, and that's it. You don't have to sit there cleaning it necessarily.
Would you have to go like deep, like I guess in the couch you have cracks right here, but like deep under where you have to like stick your hands, like.
Right. So I think everything's bottled in there.
No one's going in. Out the one Cheerio that's at the bottom of the couch, and you have to like stick your hands in for 10 minutes to get
right. I still remember one time I was like first married, and I went to my in-laws, and my job was to clean the couch. So fine. So I cleaned the couch, and then in the middle of the B'dikas Chometz, I start getting yelled at. Who cleaned the couch? I mean, this is being recorded, but and so he's like, so I'm like, oh no, you know, it was my job to clean the couch. Oh, I found a piece of Lego in here. Lego's not chametz, yeah, but if there could be a Lego in there still, there could be also chametz also. Like, okay, so, but anyway, so the you're right. The ikar din on the couch is the area that you could. You know, but there are klal come to using when you're eating or something like that. Refrigerators. A lot of times they have like, if it's just a glass shelf or something, you could just clean it. There you have to obviously worry about even crumbs because that's sitting there with your food. So and the problem with those things is a lot of times there's like a plastic ledge between where it's holding the glass, so it gets a little, it's like harder to clean over there. So my suggestion would be to cover refrigerator shelves, because this way, you know, the glass shelves, the shelves on the doors and stuff like that, where it's really not like that, maybe you could just wipe down theoretically. I think there's a diak in the Shulchan Aruch on Yazdaiti that anywhere you're putting food on Pesach that had food on chametz, you should cover. That's a minig.
In a fridge, you have a potential issue depending on what you do with your fridge. If you put hot food in your fridge, you're going to have a problem, potentially. Meaning, I put it could be that with a hot chametz pot,
yeah,
and then I'm going to put a hot peso pot on peso. It's not covered.
That would be another reason to cover it.
Let the down when you clean it.
It's unlikely that would end up being a problem, but there would be a reason to do that. So pantries, stuff like that, you know, and anywhere you're putting food, dishes, and anything that you're using by the table should be covered. Obviously, the tables itself, but the rest of the house really does not bring up this concern. So now it comes for people that are not going to be home Pesach. So if you're not going to be home Pesach, so what happens? So my wife doesn't want to clean. I want her to just sell the whole house. You're not really supposed to sell your whole house for Pesach because the Chazal want you to do a bedika. And by selling your house, you're really getting out of the chiyuv of Chazal to do a bedika. So, you know, there's the typical... So what I tell people...
What? You sell your house in that situation. That's not your standard mechiras chametz, is it?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because if I sell my chametz,
usually selling your chametz does not absolve you from chavis v'dika.
Right. So
some say you have to do mechiras to gimel for that. Not everyone holds like that, but whatever. The point is that it's not in the spirit of what we're supposed to be doing, lemaisa. So the reason people do that is because they're afraid of afraid of this whole toothpick problem, right? So they don't want to do the toothpick method when they're going away from Pesach. That's the whole point. Why are they going? But according to what we're saying now, is it really, really, it's not a big deal, b'chol, because the Ikar Chavis B'dika is on your home. It's on your home. You could clean your whole house for Pesach if you're not going to be there. Basically, if you have a cleaning lady, it's pretty much done already. What happens? No one's keeping.
You have the alcohol that's out. So
not, what do you mean out?
You have to cover it before you.
No. No one's going to be there for Pesach, right? Let's go with someone that nobody's using their house for Pesach. So nobody's using the house for Pesach. All you need to do is that you could say all the floor space in the house, you sweep with a broom. You sweep with a broom all the floor space. Then what you sell is the cabinets, the closets, under the furniture. But you're Mekayim Bedika now. So you're Mekayim Bedika in your house because the house itself is the floor space on the house. You swept, right? Most people are not leaving their house for a week and a half for Pesach and leaving breakfast out from that morning, right? You clean up your house somewhat, right? So you sweep up your house. You sweep the floor. And then you sell the cabinets, you sell the closets, and you could sell the area under the furniture, like under the couches. And then you're Mekayim Bedika in your house because you cleaned your house for Pesach, and everything else you leave. What's the people's problem? People's problem is, you're telling me I have to clean for Pesach? Clean for Pesach equals, you know, some sort of trauma, and I would rather I'm just going to sell the house. But it's really not so complicated. You could clean the whole house for Pesach, do it the night before you go away, you do a bedikah, you sweep your whole floor, and then you sell the areas. Now, if someone's going to be in the house for Pesach, what are you going
to
ask?
It's better to do different rooms, to say one room, inside one room.
I'm saying you don't need to do that. That's what I'm trying to say.
Which is better? It's better rather to do the whole floor space.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole house.
It's the whole house. And you're not mafkia yourself from Chavez bedikah. Okay, but this is your house.
So you do one room. We can still do Mekayim Bedika in one room. Pick one bedroom. And
you could do that. I'm saying you don't need to do that because this way you're basically doing the same thing anyway. I assume that most people are not leaving their house with stuff all over the floor. The houses are cleaned up. They're pretty much clean already for Pesach. You don't need to cover it. Now, what you're referring to is if someone's in the house, it gets more complicated. Because if someone's in the house, Yutaka are not allowed to leave chametz out. I mean, even if it's in a closet behind the glass, it really should be covered. So then Yutaka get a little more complicated. So then people ask me, I'm selling my whole house, but someone's staying in it. And I decide if someone's staying in it, or you're cleaning it, or you're selling it. You can't, so someone says to me, okay, I'm selling my office. I'm not going to get to do bedika. Anyway, I don't know, chametz in there, whatever. The typical conversation, a couple granola bars, but whatever, not a big deal. I could take them out. But I'm not going to do bedika, I just sell it. Okay. By the way, you're going to work on chometz. Yeah, I have to go to work on chometz. You're going to work on chometz, how do you sell your office? You're going to be there the whole time. Right? Like, the things that people say don't make sense sometimes. You have to, selling is not like an option. It's if you're not using that area, and that area is, let's say, it's a home that I have somewhere else, or it's an area of the house, or it's a shed, or something that I'm not going to be using, and it's not my house, the chazal is not going to be, okay, so that makes sense. Or even a car, let's say. But the house itself, chazal made a mitzvah of doing bedikas chametz. We make a bracha on that mitzvah. So l'chaira, it's the appropriate thing to try to do it, but you could do it in a very simple way. Just sweep the floor and check the floor. There's no chametz on the floor. That's all you have to do. And that's the Chayr Mekayim, all the Ikar Halacha, and you don't have to get, all nervous about it. Okay? Now,
I presume where we should sell the Gabi Kitchen House, whatever it means rent. You don't want to deal with...
Do Mechiras Chametz. Whatever Mechiras Chametz means.
Right.
Whatever Mechiras Chametz means. Right. Exactly. Right. Now, that reminds me, what about people tend to spend a lot of time cleaning Kalim that they're going to sell? Let's say you have a toaster oven, right? So you're sitting there, getting it all out, and then you put it in the cabinet and you're going to sell it anyway. So really, really, first of all, it depends. Some people have a minig, they sell chametz gomer, some people don't have a minig. If your minig is to sell chametz gomer, it's not a problem. But even if your minig is not to, really what you could do is shake it out, if you don't want to have real pieces of chametz or a kazayas of chametz in one kli, shake it out, and everything else is not a big deal. You'll leave it. But you definitely don't have to be worried about most kalim. Don't have to be cleaned if you're selling them also. Okay?
You can't sell a kalim.
No, you're not selling the kalim, but you're doing mechiras chametz on the kalim. Whatever that means. In the case of the kalim, you're renting the keli or, you know, the chametz attached to the keli. Right. You're right. You are
so,
correct.
So, Rebbe, if you open up the toaster and you just see a few crumbs there, certainly not as I don't even need to really pick or dim, wipe it out.
No, so I would shake it maybe if you want, once it's opened, right, and you're holding it.
Right.
I know, but I
my first one he saw in a safer, he goes, and then you should put on the toaster for a few minutes, get it red hot.
But you're koshering the toaster, right. Yeah, you know.
Never.
Right, exactly. Now, I'm not coming to negate this that the Rosh says, that Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, and Yisrael Kedoshim, and they would wipe the walls. The Rosh brings it, that they would wipe down the walls because maybe there was some sort of chametz stuck on the walls or whatever. I don't know what he was concerned about. I mean, I don't think he was concerned about achila. So obviously there was this Indian of Yisrael Kedoshim in there. Yisrael Kedoshim is not the Ikra Halacha. So it's not the Halacha. There's an idea like that, but it's not the Ikra Halacha. This is what we're describing now is the Ikra Halacha. Just to go through just very basic and quick.
Cars.
So a car is really the same idea. The car, lemaisa, anywhere where there's a concern that there's real chametz, which there's zikr, the car is the one place that you clean and you will find chametz. You will find cookie, you will find real chametz there. So I think the cars should not be used if they were not cleaned for Pesach. Cars should be cleaned.
Depends. Like one guy like
Bring his. Okay, if you never ate in your car, it's a makom she'en machnis b'chametz. Place that you never bring comments, you don't have to clean. But anyone with a busy car, with kids, or whatever, then b'derech klal, there's going to be comments.
Car wash, vacuum it,
yeah, usually. You know.
To make the detail on anyone.
What? Yeah, you have to know who, like, you know, how well they're doing it, but basically, if they're doing under the seat.
Your car or you're cleaning the minivan, it probably makes a big difference also. If the kids are, you know what I'm saying? Like, it depends.
Right. No, but underneath the seats in the car should be cleaned, I think, because you will have chametz there. The dining room chairs, that's one thing I think should be cleaned, because most of your hands are on those chairs during when you're eating, so you probably should wipe down the chairs. And I think everything else is just as we mentioned, legabe counters. So if you cover your counters, you have no problem. There is brought down a minig that you kasher the counters even if you cover them. I think that minig is really only talking about if you use a very thin covering, that there's a chashash that it could rip. Like, let's say you had, in the old days, they used to use, what was it called? The sticky stuff, the contact paper, yeah. Use a cover with the contact paper. Remember those days? So you cover with the contact paper, and then the next... And then until Shavuos, you're trying to peel off all the glue that's still left on it. So if you're doing that, so then there was a minute to kasher. Because there, it could rip. The paper could tear. But nowadays, if you're going to cover it, you have a real covering, then I don't think you have to kasher underneath the counters that you're covering. In terms of kashering counters, it's a whole long sugya about kashering the counters. Kashering the counters, first of all, has to be a material that's kasherable, which is stone. If it's glazed stone, it's a shayla. If it's mixed stone, which I think like quartz, what do they call today? Quartz is a combination of different stuff, including cheres in there, including cheres, which is not kasherable. If you have a marble, a granite, like a real stone counter, that's basically natural stone, that could be kashered. But the way to kasher it is through irui, hot water, let's say, without the minig of the marival, which is to use a boiling hot stone. But to do that, you have to, it's always complicated, you have to make sure you hit every spot, and then you make a big mess, and the water still has to be hot when you're hitting each spot. And it's a drop complicated, I would say. And
you can
rent a steamer, a powerful steamer that has really.
It has to have.
Oil, I don't know. I'm not so into the
steam.
I'm not into the steam really because the Moshe says we don't kasher with steam, but it has to be that nowadays they did come out with something apparently that the steam comes out not just as steam, it comes out as liquid.
Tornado.
What?
I have a specific model. It's $1,000.
What does it cost?
It's a very specific model. It's about $1,000.
Yeah. Is there a Gemach out?
You can start it.
What?
I have to buy them every year. I buy like 5 or 6 every year. It's ridiculous.
And where do they go after that? We should make a Gemach.
No, they probably do not have longer use of like 100 uses. So they do not last a long time.
Really?
It's the only one that's approved. I spoke to everybody.
There's a new one that's cheaper.
It's not approved yet. Not by the so-called Rabbanim that you will hopefully want to follow. It's
In other words, the point is, the Moshe says to just kasher with steam is not so possible. So the steamer is very nice, it's very neat, but the steamer has to come out. The problem with the steamer is that by the time the steam comes out as liquid, it already cooled off. And as the definition is, by definition, steam, when it when it goes back to becoming liquid, it already cooled off. So the question is, it has to be coming out as boiling hot liquid. So to come out as boiling hot liquid, to become the Moshe, it's very hard to find a machine that steams with liquid. So, Mamela, it's let me finish. So Mamela, it's a little complicated, but there was an Eitzah that some people have, I think Rav Scheinberg and others have, the eighth of the iron. And iron is a boiling hot piece of metal, essentially, right? So if you have a plugged in iron, what you could do is you could kind of like soak up a paper towel with water, and then the water is sitting there on the counter, and then you put the iron on it, and it kind of boils the water on the counter. So, you could like put water on your counter, and you basically have an iron, which the Shas Mice is boiling the water as you go along. But I've never done it. I'm not so clear that it's.
I've heard people time that
it doesn't really.
Cetus doesn't work because what's happening is you have a layer of water.
And it's only what's touching it.
So the top layer of those, however much water is there. It boils off from the top down, so you never have.
Okay, so I don't know the Matzias. I never tested it.
Matzias doesn't work out.
I think that most people are gonna. Most wives, you see, you bring an iron into your kitchen. All of a sudden, once a year, you take an iron, and now you're taking it to the kitchen. I think people get nervous. It could crack the. I don't know how hot it is. Whatever. Bottom line is, I would say to cover the. Counters. Sinks is the same Shaila, really. I don't have a good eight on sinks. I'm not going to publicly talk about sinks. If anyone wants to talk about sinks, we can talk about it. But I don't like talking about sinks.
If you love a house and you have a tenant in it, and you're not sure what kasher's level of it.
So it's mutl on you to kasher or for them?
I don't know. Who
are you renting from?
They're renting because there's you have to sell the house for them. You don't know what they're doing.
You have to clean it. That you have to do. Koshering, I don't know. I don't know who's
the guy says to kosher. My house in New York. I have a tenant in there. I don't know what they're doing.
Oh, that's not your problem. No. I thought you meant your house here.
Renting
you're renting for Pesach.
No, so I don't have to put it on the house.
No, that's their problem. You don't have any advice on that.
Sink faucets?
Sink faucets, if the bottom is plastic, you can't cash. You can't. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that yet.
Put a sock.
How it change? Cover it.
Right.
How they change it? If they sell these things, how it change?
It covers the surface.
So.
No, if you cover it with a faucet cover. Like they have in Bnei Brak, in Yerushalayim, in Yasharim. So, I've never really seen that in America.
Yeah.
Now they have. Now they came out with a sleeve to cover, and it's the same concept.
Why does it come out nice? It comes out, through
the
sack,
whatever. So it depends. If you could change it very simply, then my sink it's $1.50 in Home Depot. I have a separate one for Pesach. But if you have one that splits. Sprays and the bottom of it is plastic. You can't really cash that.
Yeah,
Well, why would there be chometz in it anyway?
Because you clean.
The water is coming out, not going in.
No, because you were cleaning. You washed dishes, and the steam comes out. You poured.
Why not just clean it and do it? You have boiling water like we do.
Because plastic. So we don't kosher the plastic for Pesach.
Most of them they never used to be the plastics, and only the new ones.
We're talking about new ones. That's the whole point. The chametz used to always be metal.
The thing itself, that's plastic around the.
The gasket?
Yeah, the gasket.
That's usually metal. Also, you have to cut. Yeah, anyway, you need a new one.
You need the gasket. There's like.
Are you washing your sink?
It's not plastic, whether.
Anything
I don't know. I've never been on that. Kashering, since it's complicated, we'll talk about it. Maybe there will be a different conversation. As far as next Sunday, I guess we could have a share. I'm still here, everyone. So next Sunday, we'll try to cover some more ground on this. Okay, Mr. Shem.